This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont farmers are nothing if not adventurous in trying to develop new uses for their land. One farmer in Addison County converted some of his farm into rice paddies. Not only that, but he's incorporated the help of ducklings to keep the crop healthy. VPR's Rick Sangari visited Bound Brook Farm in Ferrisburg to learn more about this symbiotic relationship.
Several hundred ducks are paddling in a rice paddy on Eric Andrus's farm. And if you're thinking that rice isn't typically grown in Addison County, you're right. But Andrus has found a way to make rice work here.
Rice is a tropical plant, and even though the varieties we grow are cold tolerant, they don't grow as fast as they do in a tropical environment. So it grows very slowly, and there's a lot of space between the plants. And it's very wet and fertile, and it's a condition where weeds can really flourish. And also because it's flooded, it's very difficult to get in there with any type of equipment and pull the weeds or cultivate them in any way.
And that's where the ducks come in.
So the duck is a perfect fit for this problem because they can walk or swim between the plants and they eat the weeds and bugs that bother the rice crop, but they do not harm the rice plants because rice leaves contain silica and ducks don't like the feel of that in their bills. So they leave the rice leaves alone. By the time the rice plants are developing grain, we remove them from the field because the ducks will eat that. But by that time, they've done 6 weeks of field cleaning for us free of charge.
Andrus learned this method of using ducks to tend to his rice paddies by visiting farmers in Japan who've perfected the technique. He now has 400 ducks that he bought as hatchlings.
And they are khaki Campbell ducks, so they're a small, agile, domestic duck. They're not perfect for your great big Peking duck a l'orange, but they are good egg layers and they're adept foragers. So even at 10 days old, today they are 10 days old, they can go out to the field and stay there as long as we can protect them from predators.
Today, these young ducklings will paddle in water for the first time in the rice paddies.
We're going to take the ducklings from the brooder to the rice field in the tractor, and this method puts the ducks in a great big jumble in a bin just for a few minutes for their ride to the field, and then they get unceremoniously dumped into the rice paddy. That's how the Japanese do it, so I know it works. They'll sort themselves out in a matter of minutes, and they'll be off and foraging for weeds and bugs and tadpoles and whatever else they can find out there.
Well, ducks, remember your training.
Andrus lifts two dark blue plastic bins from the tractor, each carrying 60 ducklings. The ducklings hop and tumble out of the bins at the edge of the rice paddy. The ducks are swimming for the first time. One older mallard is with them, showing them how, but mostly they're just trying to get out of each other's way.
Is this the first moment of their life that they've been in water?
Yeah. That's it. That's the magic right there. Notice how the water is clouding right away. That also helps keep weeds from germinating on the soil bed and makes more nutrients available for the growing rice plants. You can actually see the cloud spreading right around the ducks into the clear water right next to the ducks. But by the end of the day, they'll have muddied up this entire rice paddy.
While rice is his crop, it's clear that Andrus cares about the ducks that help him grow the rice. He says it's his responsibility to keep the ducks healthy and feels a bond with them.
So I talk with my ducklings all the time. I call to them. And even though they can get their own food, I'll make a practice of calling them and feeding them a little bit of duck food every day so that they always come when I call. Yeah.
Oh, duck, duck, duck. Duck, duck, duck.
It's so funny, that kid just getting familiar with the surroundings.
Yeah.
You know, they're afraid to go too far.
What really makes ducks healthy in a 24/7 outdoor environment is the fact that, like, the duck is a creature that lives on the edge of water and land. So in order for it to really work, the water level in the field has to be quite low, lower than most rice farmers are comfortable with. But if they're in deep water all the time, they are not big enough to temperature regulate, and they'll succumb to various diseases.
Andrus works to balance the health of the ducks with the productivity of the rice paddies. His farm now produces 3 to 4 tons of rice, 3 Japanese varieties, and 1 Russian variety.
When I first bought this farm about 10 years ago, we aimed to actually grow wheat and barley and other dryland crops, but we have very heavy soils, and 2 years out of 3, the rainfall patterns, which have been meaning we get fewer shots of rain and larger shots, have made for difficult cropping conditions 2 years out of 3. And I lived in Japan 16 or so years ago, and I saw commercial scale rice being grown there. And when we saw water pooling in the fields, like a foot deep, my wife and I would joke like, oh, we ought to be growing rice. And then in 2010, we heard about this couple in southern Vermont that had been doing experiments with Japanese cold tolerant rice varieties. And it started not to be a joke. It's like, oh, we ought to be growing rice. And so I learned about the research that Takeshi and Linda Akaogi had done and decided that I wanted to create a small commercial scale model for Japanese rice varieties. There's an awful lot New Englanders don't know about growing rice, and some of it we've been able to learn from books, and a lot of it we've learned from trial and error. And last year I went to Japan and made a connection with some of the ecological rice growing community in Japan, and that was enormously helpful. So we're getting closer and closer to, you know, a really viable model. But the climate and the soils are an excellent fit. The Champlain Valley was naturally a combination of wetlands and wet forest, so rice is a much better fit for what the valley wants to be in terms of natural history than corn or wheat.
Andrus likes to say that if the Champlain Valley had been colonized by people from Asia instead of Europeans, we'd already have several hundred years of rice-growing tradition here. For VPR News, I'm Rick Singeri in Ferrisburg.